For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
The Capital Ideas podcast now features a series hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover what differentiates their investment approach, what learnings have shifted their career trajectories, and how do they find their next great idea? Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Independent has one of its Ireland Thinks polls saying two-thirds back Fianna Fáil Fine Gael coalition for second term. And there's some other interesting data within the poll as well in relation to things like supports for mobile phone bans and social media bans and all of the rest of it. But to the politics of it first, Paul, you might give us a breakdown of this. It is rosy news for the coalition, not so wonderful for Sinn Féin.
Yeah, so what we have based on the Ireland Thinks poll taken last week, this is the last poll was the 3rd of August, Fine Gael up 1.25, Fianna Fáil up 1.21, Sinn Féin down 1-18, Social Democrats down 1-4, Green Party and Labour both level on 4, Ain 2 down 1-3, and People for Profit on 2% of support. I suppose when you look across, what we're always asking, what we're asking in Leinster House all the time is, when's the election going to be? If you're Simon Harris now and you're seeing 25% support and you're seeing...
There's a lot of wind at your back.
Absolutely. So are you going to be tempted to go in the next couple of weeks? Are you going to be tempted to pull the plug just after the budget, which is a month from now, not to scare any political correspondents who are just waking up? But... are you going to be, I suppose, tempted to do that, go before Christmas? I think, you know, now if you were looking at the polls, if you were Simon Harris, you might really be tempted.
The other thing that's interesting in this is, and Fiona, you might have a view on this, is the diminution in express support for Sinn Féin, because we're down from mid-30s to about 18, which is about 50% drop in overall support.
Yeah, and obviously this is continuing a downward slide that's been in evidence now for really more than a year. And I suppose the stark figure when you take that trend as a whole is that Mary Lou MacDonald's personal approval rating is now 31 points, which is more than 20 points behind Simon Harris, who's up 1 point to 53. Now, 2 years ago, you literally could have reversed those figures. It's a tiny point, but Pather Tobin, his personal approval rating as leader of Ain 2 is 32 points. So he's even ahead of Mary Lou MacDonald in this poll. So that is very problematic for Sinn Féin generally, but I think for Mary Lou in particular, you know, it's I don't know how you come back from a figure like that.
And what, Lynn, just to ask you about this, in any other instance where we've seen that kind of diminution in express support, you can usually point to something. So you had Fine Gael back in the day with Aircom shareholders and internecine fighting. You had Fianna Fáil losing similar amounts of support, having presided over an economic collapse. You had Labour being seen to renege on its views by going into government. It's hard to point to a thing and say, there's the problem for Sinn Féin.
Well, look, Sinn Féin carried out a very extensive review after the local and European elections. And, you know, there's a number of measures that are being put in place now and changes. So I think, like, look, while we'd like to be doing better in the poll, it is the holiday season, you know, when the opposition are back in and Mary Lou is holding the government to account and those recommendations from that review are put into place. I think hopefully you will see, you know, a reverse of that trend.
And are there big tangibles in the review? Was there something?
No, a lot of the issues were just around, I suppose, one around messaging and others around internal issues. Do you know what I mean? So there are changes being made, but I think the king is, when you have an election, people's minds become focused then, and what you're offering then, the alternative to people is, okay, and in this poll they're opting for the Fianna Fáil Fine Gael, but I think in the cold light of day, you're saying you want more of the same. You want more of the housing crisis, the health crisis, education crisis, or do you want to vote for something that's offering an alternative for the first time in the history of the state? And that's the message we'll be making to the electorate.
But I mean, hard to get the momentum back in a tight period of time, though, isn't it?
Well, look, they said that after the European elections in 2019 when I lost my own seat and then Mary Lou MacDonald led the party to the most successful election ever. So look, things can turn around very quickly in politics. A week is a long time in politics. But I do think it's hard to judge when it's in the holiday season, and what we'll see is, you know, a refreshed, renewed Sinn Féin opposition party going into it to hold the government to account.
The worry for Sinn Féin really is that, you know, a week is a long time in politics. We could be 6 weeks away from a general election. Mm-hmm. And these are the figures that we're looking at. I mean, that is, I would have thought, an almost impossible turnaround.
Well, I mean, tomorrow we're launching the housing plan, and we're the only opposition party that has ever offered a comprehensive, fully costed 5-year housing plan. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, and one of the was it Kevin Cunningham was saying in the papers that housing is the weakest point for this government. And I think tomorrow, when you see very clearly the alternative is there, this government and the previous government are failing on housing. Everything is going in the wrong direction. Over 14,000 people homeless in this state. There is an alternative, and an alternative that would mean that people would have safe, secure, affordable housing.
Now, this is the one thing that Paul, you study politics all the time. You might be able to explain this. How do we have a situation where a poll comes back and says, more or less, we were voting kind of the way the status quo is, and we're leaning towards the existing government, and our main concern is the issue that they have demonstrably been making a hames of for the last 5 years, which is housing?
I think that one of the things that we assume in the media and in politics is that the electorate is completely rational across the board. And they're just
even
not.
A little bit rational would be like, I think, like, that is a complete paradox.
100%. And I think one of the big dangers, one of the big pitfalls for Sinn Féin going into an election is what Lynn just hit on there, with this idea that, you know, you go out to the public and you say, do you want more of the same? I think a lot of people do. I think we talk about, or, you know, when we talk about the silent majority in Ireland, I think the silent majority in Ireland are people who are happy enough just not to rock the boat. Yeah, they look at housing.
What they're saying is, which of the following should the government prioritise in the budget? Half of people say measures to get more houses built. Which of the following issues should be the two most important priorities to deal with? Number one, housing. 2/3 of people saying it is a critical issue. And it is, we saw yesterday, we have the record level of people in homeless accommodation, emergency accommodation in the state, yet the government who is doing that is popular.
Yeah, but these are just questions that you're asked in a poll. These are not, there's no question there about how much it would impact your personal vote. You're saying, what should they do on the budget? More money for housing. Granted, yeah, you're on the phone to Ireland Things. What should they do? What should they do on the budget? Health, housing. Yeah, they're the things that sound right. They're the things that I say. I'll go on about my day. I look at Ireland. I've got an okay job. Yeah, look, things could be better, could be worse. You look at the UK, you look at the US, you say, do I want to rock the boat? Probably not. I'll vote for the status quo. I think what the local elections said to me were that people were very, very pragmatic and very, very transactional. And they saw the people who were on their doorsteps. They saw the people who they felt were working towards something. Not necessarily that they agreed with everything they were working towards, but that they kind of said, yeah, look, we'll keep going. We'll just keep going as we were. I think the Irish electorate right now is in a place where it wasn't in 2020. I think 2 years of COVID probably softened that desire for change. And I think one of the things that Sinn Féin has to battle with it is, I don't think that massive desire for change is there anymore. I don't think there's a groundswell for it anymore. I think the polling has borne that out. I think that the local elections bore that out, where you look at it and people are saying, yeah, we're happy enough to carry on.
I think what Paul is saying is spot on, that it is a bit disingenuous when you look at what are the issues in elections, when you ask that in a poll, because people know what the right answers are and they want to look like concerned citizens. But if you look historically at the last 4 or 5 general elections in this country, health was always the big issue. Health was always the failing of the sitting government. Everybody on the doorstep said, what are you going to do about health? And everybody went into the polling booth and thought, how much more money am I going to have in my pocket if I do this and that? And health went out the window.
But I think on that point, and this is the real crisis that we're in this state, because housing affects everything. It affects whether we can have teachers, guards in our city. It affects the the price people are being asked to pay for salaries and all FBI of that sort of thing. Everything. Do you know what I mean? So if we can fix housing, we can actually fix an awful lot of the other problems that are in the state. But I think what this government, what the successive governments have done is they've created such a bad housing crisis that it's like health. Health was the number one issue, but people don't believe the health system can be fixed. They really don't believe that there is a better system, even though all the parties agree to slauncher care. And I think that's what's happening with housing, is that people are going, it's so bad, who could fix it? And hopefully now tomorrow when we set out our plan, that people will see that there is a credible alternative. But I do think that it's gotten so, so bad that there's almost a fatalism in people's minds that housing can never be fixed.
I also wonder, is there an element of housing where Irish people are just concerned about access to housing as opposed to ideology of housing? So the Sunday Times, Hugh O'Connell's story on Sinn Féin, Owen O'Brien's talking about abolishing the LDA, replacing it with an active land.
This is the Land Development Agency.
There's numerous housing scholars will tell you that's a much better idea, much better use of resources. I think the general populace would look at that and say, okay, but my son is living in the box room, him and his girlfriend are saving. How does that help them get a house? And
well, let's come back to the issue of housing, because as you say, there is an awful lot within the news today looking ahead to Owen O'Brien's big launch tomorrow, because there is as Lynn was pointing out, Sinn Féin are laying out exactly what it is that they intend to do, and already battle lines are being drawn. Well, apparently the bank's getting dragged into it by the government, according to some reports. This morning is Lynn Boylan, Sinn Féin MEP for Dublin, Fiona Looney, columnist with the Irish Daily Mail, and Paul Hosford, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner. We have just received a Sinn Féin press notice saying Sinn Féin will at 10 a.m. tomorrow on Monday morning launch A Home of Your Own, the party's comprehensive housing plan at the Royal College of Physicians on Kildare Street. The proposals would be launched by Sinn Féin President Mary Lou MacDonald TD and spokesperson on housing Owen O'Brien TD. More on this in a minute. Before that, the Sunday Independent, we mentioned the political side of the polling that they are doing. They also do some polling in relation to social issues. And one of the things they have looked at is this suggestion that there should be a social media ban for people under the age of 16 and that there be a ban on phones in schools. Fiona, huge support for both. Two thirds of people saying absolutely.
Yeah, and you know what? King Canute was very much in favour of pushing back the tide, but it just didn't work out for him. I can't see, you know, of course, everybody knows smartphones are a very bad idea for children. Everybody knows social media is a disaster for children. But I do not think it is possible to put the genie back in the bottle. You know, in so many areas of life, you know, it's a bit like, you know, not bringing it back to, you know, when I was growing up, there was a massive issue with crisis pregnancies of, you know, young teenage girls, and this really, you know, well-intended but ultimately misplaced idea that let's stop teenagers having sex, you know, when ultimately bringing in contraception was what, you know, addressed the problem. I think this is a little bit like that. You know, once teenagers start doing something, they're going to keep doing it. And you can find, all you can try and do is make it safer, but banning it is never going to work.
I remember there was a time where the shop directly opposite my secondary school used to sell cigarettes individually that you could buy in your school uniform as you walked out the door. I would have thought doing that now would be completely anathema and a daft idea. So it must be possible to say this is damaging to the health of our young people. We can do something, no?
You know, there are small safeguards you can bring in, but banning smartphones, I'm kind of allergic to banning anything, I have to say, but banning smartphones from people who communicate through smartphones, you know, and I think a lot of the people who go, oh yes, this is a really good idea, are older people like me who still have old fashioned conversations with people, who stop in the street and talk to people. My kids don't do that. You know, my kids, every conversation they have is an online, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but that is how young people communicate. So the idea that, you know, the Irish Medical Organisation is behind a complete ban on smartphones for under 16s, you're effectively taking away their tools of communication.
Well, sorry, this is the under 16 ban, I think, is for social media. So access to social media.
Yeah, well, that's a separate thing. That's Stephen Donnelly's idea to ban social media. But again, you know, again, social media sounds to me like what old people say. You know, I think Twitter, I think Instagram, you know, younger people are communicating on mediums that I don't even know about, you know, and they will continue to do that. And if you ban them, they're going to come up with new ones, and China will come up with new ones, and they will move on to them. I honestly think that we are wasting our time talking about a ban for these things. It is completely unworkable.
What about the health impact of it, Lynn? Because one of the things that we know as fact is that the algorithms hand you that which annoys you, that which aggrieves you, that which offends you, and the algorithms are designed to get absolute maximum engagement. For a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old kid, that is not a good thing. IMO is saying it very clearly.
No, and that's the point here. I mean, like, Norma Foley has enough to be getting on with, to be honest, in terms of education, teacher shortages, no school places for children with special needs, the public transport system. So I think that's where her focus should be. What we need to do is regulate the social media industry and regulate them properly so that it is safe and that it's not pushing these algorithms. And they can do that.
Not a hope, though, is there?
They can. Well, look, we're hearing a lot of talk from Simon Harris, but that's all we're hearing is talk. Do you mean we have, for years, have been saying these social media companies need to be regulated. I mean, they've been involved in fixing of elections, even. We've seen their interference. So, like, they need to be brought to heel. And, like, trying to let them self-regulate themselves is a nonsense. They're not going to do it. And it is about health for young people. And I think, like, one of the things within schools is the teachers will even tell you the school is not necessarily the problem with the smartphone, because most of the kids, the phone is away. It's after school. It's when they're at home. And it would be impossible to police a ban. But we do need to make social media safer for young people, and that's where regulators need to regulate and the government do their job.
But every time it has been tried, Paul, the answer, particularly from X, but from most of the social media giants, is a variant of stick it.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of the things that worries you when you look at the landscape around AI as well, because I think with social media companies, the genie's kind of out of the bottle. They've been around for so long. The algorithms are so sophisticated. Right now, you've got, over the last 18 months, you've had most of the big AI companies, most of the leaders in that space, who have gone to the likes of the European Commission and said, you need to regulate us. You need to regulate this space before it gets out of hand. And it's just been an absolute snail's pace. So if you're looking at what's coming down the tracks, it could be something similar. I think with social media companies, one of the easiest things is to turn off the recommender systems. Yeah. We've talked about it for the last 18 months. These are the algorithms that when you set up a new account, that this is what's pushed at you. That no matter what you say your interests are, you say you're interested in football and finance, but they're pushing, you know, far right talking points at you. They're pushing, you know, gore or you know, very graphic videos, because that's what gets the highest engagement. That's just what the algorithm is trained to kind of push at you. That you're allowed to find your own way, and that's the way it was, particularly early in Twitter. You couldn't really. You weren't exposed to anything. There was no For You page. It was basically, who do you want to follow? What do you want to see from them? And then if you followed, you know, if you followed the likes of Anton Savage, you got Matt Cooper's page pushed to you and said,
look, travel as a pair.
Exactly. Because you two are bound at the hip. You liked one, you might like the other. It wasn't a case of like, we think this might annoy you, we think this might offend you.
And that's
you.
The critical thing. Yeah. We think this might annoy you. I mean, Musk has said that himself. It isn't that you are handed things that we think you might like. It's often we are handed things that we know you will hate, because you'll engage with them. But
they've also been shown that they shadow ban as well. I mean, that's been particularly prevalent during the conflict in Gaza. Do you mean that they're shadow banning certain messages and Palestinian voices on some of the platforms? So they can do this. They have a lot more control than they let on. So that's where, look, I just think they can't be trusted. So they have to be very, very heavily regulated.
The one issue I do have is that a couple of weeks ago, Norma Foley, we were at a doorstep. She kind of dropped in that a smartphone ban at second level is something that she's looking at. I spoke to Paul Crone from the NAPDP. He said, look, the worst thing that you can do with teenagers to get them to come along with you is ban something.
Yeah. Well, that's
talk to them. If you bring them along, they will come with
there's
you.
There's a text agreeing with that says, that woman being Fiona Looney, that woman is 100% right. Educate young people on the phones, engage with them, don't ban them. 53106 at a cost of 30 cents if you want to get in touch, or 087-1400-106. Talk briefly there about celebrity candidates, this being Alison Cumman, previously of Sky News and of UTV Ireland, and Gráinne Seoige, both apparently now going to be candidates in the upcoming general election. Lynn, are they in for a shock? Because politics is real work.
It is, and I know, look, a lot of the public will go, politicians are overpaid and they don't work hard enough. But I think one of the things that you learn very quickly when you get elected, because I got elected to the European Parliament in 2014 with no political experience, is you have to do the work and you have to be able to hit the ground running. So look, anybody is, of course, entitled to put their name forward. And just because they've been a celebrity doesn't mean that they don't have an interest in politics. But what I really do want to see is people who are serious about doing the work and delivering for the electorate that put them there.
Is it a big advantage to have the celebrity name?
Maybe some people say in the very big constituencies, like in European constituencies and that name recognition certainly helps. But as I said, I had no name recognition, no political background, but you went out and did the hard graft and got elected. So look, I think anybody's, as I said, is allowed to throw their name in the hat. What I'd like to just make sure is that anybody who is doing that is doing it for the right reasons, and that is to do the work and to deliver for people that they represent.
Thankfully, we have texts criticising that woman. So let me bring them in. Fiona is completely wrong. Now my 19-year-old daughter regularly wished she had an 80s-style childhood, the nice version in brackets, with nobody having smartphones and calling to each other's houses like she saw in Stranger Things. Why can't we phase it in now over the next 5 years that kids grow up, just start with dumb phones to age 16, no tablets in school to the Leaving Cert cycle. It's too late for those who have them, but it's not too late to save the next lot. Another Anton, please tell Fiona regarding conversations and smartphones that it doesn't mean, because that's how kids communicate, that it's right. It's not right. They have no social skills. Ask any teacher, employer or school leavers. Their communication skills are non-existent. But I think the point that Fiona is making, not to put words in her mouth, is that ship has sailed.
That ship has sailed, and their communication skills are just different from ours. They do have, of course they have communication skills. They're just not the same ones. They're not the old-fashioned, folksy.
Look at you being relentlessly positive.
But also what you'd find, Anton, is that parents would defy it. I mean, when was this Jamie Oliver tried to improve the food in schools, parents were handing bags of chips into their kids at the break. Do you know what I mean? So you'll always have parents defying it, and who's going to police it?
Now, before we wrap up, that statement that came in from Sinn Féin about the housing launch tomorrow morning, this is Eoin Óibrín's big seminal document on here's what we are going to do in relation to housing. And already interesting shots coming across the bows. The housing minister, it is reported, asking the banks whether or not they will lend mortgages to houses where the state owns the land on which the house is built. What's your reaction, first of all, to that, to the inclusion of the bank?
Look, this is typical Dara O'Brien trying to deflect from his own disastrous management of the housing system. I mean, what's really interesting is Dara O'Brien introduced an affordable housing scheme and never consulted with the Banking and Payments Federation. And what happened was people who were trying to buy homes through that scheme were delayed for up to a year. Sinn Féin have engaged with the Banking Federation. They have set out areas where they think that they would like certain things to be addressed with that affordable housing scheme, and we're confident that we are addressing those conditions.
But have you got assurance that mortgages will be provided for houses where the state owns the land but the individual owns the house?
But we've engaged with the Banking Federation about this, and we've engaged extensively with them. But it's deeply regrettable that you have a minister who's trying to drag a banking system into a political row rather than actually just doing his job. But it is typical of Dara O'Brien. He constantly writes these letters, releases them out to journalists, no offence to the journalists in the room, to try and create a deflection from his own disastrous oversight of the housing policy. Tomorrow we'll be setting out very clearly a fully costed alternative 5-year plan, which would be the most ambitious plan for delivering houses.
300,000 homes, is that the plan?
300,000 homes, but it's also about affordable homes. Do you mean homes that are genuinely affordable? It's about more public housing. It's about allowing local authorities to get on with doing what local authorities should be doing instead of being tied up with red tape as they currently are.
How do you accelerate housing provision to that extent when you already have a market where there is a bucket of capital pouring into it and it can't keep up?
Tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the Royal College of Surgeons, you can ask that very question.
Well, I assumed that you might have a capacity to get a bit of a glimpse of the plan from Eoin Óibrín before it was made public.
No, I mean, there are elements of it that are in the newspapers today, one around the vacant housing issue. So we would have revenue collect the derelict site so that it would be collected, but also with the Land Development Agency to split that, because the Land Development Agency has no experience of delivering houses. So currently what they're doing is they're buying up already built properties. So that just means they're competing with the AHBs and with the local authorities. So we would give the residential side back to the local authorities. The staff would go over there, build the houses. Local authorities know how to do that. And then what the LDA role would be about active land management to make sure we have enough zoned land to actually deliver the 300,000 homes that are needed.
You will all be glad to know that apparently the 80s was a wonderful time that we should all hark back to. Another text to say, similar to your last text, my 19-year-old son envies my 1980s childhood. He too watched Stranger Things. He also refuses to use digital or card payments. Cash all of the way. Guys, thank you very much. A political correspondent with the Irish Examiner, Paul Hosford. Columnist with the Irish Daily Mail, Fiona Looney. And Sinn Féin MEP for Dublin, Lynn Boylan. We'll be back after this break.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.